So today's message in Ephesians is all about the role of the husband. Yay. Hey? Yeah, take notes, men. Take notes. All right. Actually, I think I'll pray. That's a good place to start. Father, I thank you that this is your word. Father, to the men, to the husbands. And Lord, it's a word to all of us, really. If we all take our rightful role in our relationships, Father, you do great and mighty things. So, Lord, let our hearts be open today to receive what you have for us. And we ask this in your name. Amen. So, to start off, I'm going to go back a couple of verses because, really, the whole thing is in one context. Marriage is not to be looked at singularly. It's a joint thing, and in order for what God intended it to be, there should be equal function by the men and the women in their respective roles. Amen. Yes, and marriage has become, you know, an uncertain institution, hasn't it, where people today are hesitant to enter into marriage because they're not sure if it's going to work out. That's what they say. So let's have a look. I'm going to read the entire bit there from verse 21 down to 33, and then we'll go through it because it does all come in context. So let's start. Verse 21, and further. This is a key. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is head of his wife, as Christ is head of the church. He is the saviour of his body, the church, and the church submits to Christ. So you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her, to make her holy, clean and washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way that Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, if you take on these scriptures, it will give you the tools to build and strengthen your marriage relationship. Remember last week I said, if we're opening a box and putting a box from IKEA together, we need to follow the instructions. Well, we need to look at the Creator's instructions for marriage because he knows us better than we do and what he says works. Don't know if you noticed, but Paul only addressed the wives for 3 verses, but the role of the husband gets 8 verses. So he has a fair bit more to say to the husbands. Just saying, maybe they need more instruction. I'm sure my little puns are coming in. That's it. Okay, but before Paul gets into these instructions, if we just go back a bit, there are some prerequisites that are necessary to build a home. For example, back in verse 18, which is not there, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And if you've been married for any length of time, you will know that this cannot be done successfully without the Lord. We need him, don't we? We need him to fill our lives, to take over our thinking, our temperament and our tongue. And that's the first prerequisite. Now, there's another one in verse 20 which says, be thankful. You know, and we can lose that quite quickly, to be thankful, but we need to be thankful for everything. Thank God for our spouses. Thank God for our lives and everything that we have in it. And then verse 21, as we learned last Sunday, is the mutual submission, and I read that today. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Most people think submission is a one-way street, but it's actually not. It's a two-way. And you submit by fulfilling your roles with submitting to one another. Now, the basic role outlined in Scripture for a husband in the relationship can be summed up in one word, which is love. And that sums up what basically the role of the husband is to the wife. He's the leader of the home, but it is a leadership of love. And it is a servant leadership. Now, we've been married 45 years coming up in February. I was 19, Graham was 21. And I've come to understand, as you probably have too, that every single person is incompatible with every other person in the world. And it doesn't take very long to discover that we have a lot of differences. We're all fallen creatures. We have a sinful nature. And just give it time and you'll work that out. Someone once said in any marriage that's more than a week old, there are grounds for divorce. But the key is to find the grounds for marriage and to stick with it. I like that. Now, this is not to condemn anyone who may have been married and is remarried. That's fine, okay? We're here now. Don't worry about the past. So I'm going to attempt to give you grounds for a happy, healthy and satisfying marriage. And I'm starting, of course, we did last week, the woman, with doing the role of the husband. So I've got a few points here. And the first point is this. It is to be a singular love. Husbands loves your wife. That's your wife, not anybody else's wife, just your wife. It's a singular love. In Colossians 3:19, we read this. Husbands, love your wives, and never treat them harshly. The Message version of this same scripture says, husbands, go out for your wives. Go all out for your wives. Imagine what our homes would be if husbands go all out for their wives. The Greek word for love is agape, and it is a word that is the most far-reaching, it's the highest, it's the deepest love, and the most unselfish love. That's what Christ's love was for us. Now, interesting, men are given the command to love the wives, but the wives are not commanded to love. But they will, and they do. They will naturally respond to the kind of singular love that a husband provides. And as Paul said, they will respond with willing submission. Husbands are to love their wives. It doesn't say to rule over their wives or dominate or control your wives. It's simply love your wives. In verse 23, we read, for a husband is head of his wife as Christ is head of the church. Yes, the husband is head of the home. But if love is lost, then it just becomes a relationship of controlling and subduing instead of loving. So authority must be mixed with affection. And a wife will respond naturally to that. Love is not taught, it's caught. You can't teach it and you can't enforce it. It's caught. So when a husband goes all out to show his love to his wife, she feels secure in that love and she will respond. So a husband is to lead lovingly and there's a balance, leader and lover. And a husband needs to make sure that she knows she's loved. Because men will say, of course she knows I love her. I told her 20 years ago that I loved her. Really? This is a command not just to be loving, but to act loving, to treat her lovingly. So Paul is sharing with us here the heart of what God created in the woman, which is her greatest need to be loved. A woman has many other needs beyond that, but paramount to them all, she needs to be loved and to know that she is loved. And loving your wife has nothing to do with whether you feel love or not. God didn't say act loving as long as you feel like it. No, he didn't. And there's a belief among people today that love is either something you feel or you don't. And if you don't, there's just nothing you can do about that. But we as Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we need him. And that means there's always hope in Christ. And where their obedience then comes into the equation, to be obedient. Many people fall out of love today, I know. But when it happens, it presents one of the biggest challenges of their life, the challenge of whether or not they're going to be obedient to God or obedient to their own feelings. And I'm sorry to say that mostly they go with their feelings. Feelings, we take too much on our feelings. It's what the Word says. And once we do what the Word says and are obedient to that, our feelings actually start coming in line with that. I've proven that many times. So I don't ask myself how I feel lots of times. Most people give up. But again, this is where obedience to Christ comes in, and it can turn your marriage, your relationships, and to be honest, any situation in life if we are obedient. So all we've got to do is just put one foot in front of the other and obey. Husbands, love your wives. Verse 25. Husbands, this means love your wives just as, get that, just as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. So it doesn't, you know, husbands can't get off with, okay, I love my wife. No, there's a comparison here. It's not just loving your wife, it is to be loved like Christ loved the church. That's a higher call. That's a higher love. Because the cross and the life of Christ was the most selfless act of love that anyone could ever do. So Paul takes here the highest human relationship, a marriage between a husband and a wife, and he compares it to the highest act of love in history. And that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. The next point, it's a sacrificial love. So Paul shows us in the manner, it was a singular love, and he emphasises the sacrificial nature of the love when he says, has Christ loved the church and gave himself up? What motivated Jesus to leave heaven and the comforts of heaven and the glory of heaven to come to earth, to suffer like he did? Take my sins and your sins upon himself. It was the sacrifice. It was a sacrificial love that made him do that. And that's the key here, sacrifice. Some men might say, I'd take a bullet for my wife. But the response would be, well, if you're willing to take a bullet for your wife, which is the ultimate sacrifice, then you should be able to make every other sacrifice in the middle, like taking the garbage out for your wife, doing the dishes or unpacking the dishwasher for your wife. You probably already do that. But it could be just as simple as sitting down with your wife and listening to her and hearing about her world and the things she wants to talk about and encourage her to be all that God wants her to be. You might think, I'm being tough on men here today, but God puts this high call on husbands, and at the same time, I would encourage the wives to be in their role and do their role and encourage the husband in his. And really, it's a choice. It's not a feeling. We think everything runs on feelings, but it's a choice and an act of obedience. And the difference between worldly love and a Christian love in a Christian marriage is, again, the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to help us because the world will say, well, let's love each other until feelings do stop. But biblical love is not a flush of emotion. It's not a patter of the heart, although it can be. It's not a goosebump and not a shot of adrenaline. Love is deeper, it is singular, and it is sacrificial. And that means being dedicated and devoted to her physically, emotionally and spiritually. That's sacrificial love. And I don't think that Jesus wanted to really go to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane because he said, Lord, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. And it was a painful situation that he faced. But he did say, if you love me, then you will obey me. And I want to add and see what he will do when we do that. And yes, it can be difficult. Marriage is difficult. But it's sacrificial love that communicates to a wife that she has nothing to fear in her role of submission. This is a good scripture, the next one, 1 Peter 3:7. In the same way, you husbands must give honour to your wives. Treat your wives with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, and that's strength-wise here, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of a new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Wow. Wow, think about that. A little interesting insight here that is given to men related to their relationships to their wives. So that if you're not doing these things and honouring and understanding, per Peter says, if it's not happening the way it should, your prayers will be hindered. So if your prayers aren't being answered, maybe you need to look inwardly and check that you're treating your wife in that way that God meant you to be. Check your behaviour and your attitude. Verses 26 and 27, and this is describing Christ's action toward the church, okay? It says, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. And I just want to add there that one day Jesus, when he returns, he's coming back for his church. He's coming back for the body of Christ. And so he calls us his bride. We're his bride. And he is going to present this glorious church when he comes back without spot or wrinkle. So he's describing this. And this is also a model for husbands to love sacrificially, helping her to grow spiritually and become holy, just as Christ loved and cleansed the church. So the husband's role is to help her become the beautiful, pure bride that Christ intended her to be through spiritual guidance, in love, and mirroring Christ's purifying work. A godly man will show and help his wife to grow spiritually. So in this analogy of a husband and wife, the husband, so to speak, takes the wife out of the world, forgives her of her past, doesn't bring it up again, because one thing that'll ruin a marriage is unforgiveness. So a marriage is really a union of two sinners. Therefore, a good marriage is a union between two forgivers, forgiving each other. So it's a singular love, it's a sacrificial love, and it is, in some ways, sanctifying love. That's what that is. That's about Jesus sanctifying his church. And that's somehow Christ relates that to the husbands and the wives. It's also to be a sensitive love. In the same way, let's read verses 28 to 30. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. So simply put, a woman is an extension of her husband, and thus he should take care of himself, and that will make her feel secure. And when she feels secure, she will respond with love and submission and all sorts of good things. Yep. In Genesis 2, when God created the woman and brought the woman to man, Adam said this. He said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken out of man." So she is an extension of him. So Christian husbands should love their wives as they love their own bodies, because they are one flesh, which is drawing a parallel to how Christ nourishes and cherishes the church, or us as believers. And this emphasises a deep sacrificial care and unity in marriage. And Paul argues that harming a wife is like harming oneself, a natural act that no one does, and this divine unity makes the marital love a reflection of Christ's selfless love for believers. It's also to be a permanent love. It was intended to be a permanent, forever love. And as the scriptures say in verse 31, a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united in one. Now, Paul's quoting from an Old Testament scripture in Genesis 2:24. This is the New King James Version, which reads, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, this was written in Genesis way, way before Paul wrote this into Ephesians, because what was true back then is still true today, and it hasn't changed. Paul didn't come along and say, well, that was then. Those times have changed. Cultures have changed. No, this was an Old Testament biblical principle written into the New Testament and confirmed. Now, culture's a terrible thing, or it can be. There's all sorts of culture out there. But when it comes to marriage, it's what the Bible says. Culture goes out the window. It doesn't matter if you're a Muslim or whatever. The Word of God is for you. And I see so many cultures and doing things, and I feel so sorry, usually for the wives, because they're the ones treated badly. And I'm like, no, it's the biblical principles we need to be following, not culture in these situations or any situation. It's the Bible, isn't it? So he's basically saying here what God says once back then still is here today. Time has not changed the divine standard at all. And so it's true for us today. And that's why he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother. And that is to sever that relationship of dependence upon parents. Cut the umbilical cord, as to speak, and now be joined to his wife. The King James Version says, leave his father and mother and cleave to the wife. The word cleave, it's a great word. It means to stick to something like glue, to be glued inseparably. And God meant this to be a permanent thing, that the two should become one flesh. It is so permanent that Jesus quoted this verse and then he added to it after by saying, and let no man separate. A husband is to establish his own authority structure in the home, his own leadership, and no longer to be under the authority of his parents. So when a man and a woman marry, that's the position that he now takes on. And it's talking about an emotional and spiritual connection to the wife now, because she is paramount above all else. And one of the most fascinating scriptures to define a relationship, and I find it interesting, is the Bible calls the husband and wife one flesh. Because technically they're not. Like, my kids have got my DNA, a bit of Graham's, but we don't have each other's DNA. But it's more than that. It goes on to deal with many aspects of what we call intimacy. And when we talk about intimacy in marriage, we're talking about that which you share with your spouse and no one else. And there should be intimacy in every relationship, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, even intellectually. Those things ought to be happening. And for intimacy to take place in the marriage, one thing is required, and that is the willingness to be vulnerable. And that can be challenging, especially if you've been hurt in the past. But when it comes together in marriage, it is meant to be a complete, total sharing of who you are with your spouse. That is the one flesh union that God intended for a marriage relationship. Marriage was his idea. And if your marriage is ever in trouble, the good news is that God is in the restoration business. Praise him. And again, that's where we need the wisdom and the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need his help. We can't do these things alone. We're not strong enough, not courageous enough, or even smart enough to do what God asks of us in this passage. And I know with the power of the Holy Spirit that he is enabling us and will enable us to be the husband or wife that he's called us to be. And finally, it's to be a showcase of love. In verse 32, Paul gives us the reason why. He says, this is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way that Christ and the church are one. This is an illustration of how Jesus and his church become one. So a good Christian marriage is a good Christian witness, and it makes redemption visible. When you have a husband who lovingly leads by sacrificing, cultivating, nurturing his wife, and you have a wife who responds by submitting to her husband's needs lovingly in response, then it's a good witness to the world. Now, our marriages aren't perfect, far from, but it is a kind of reflection of the love that God has for his people. That's the example we are to be. And Christian marriages, they serve a threefold purpose: to enrich the lives of the man and woman, to create a family, and to further the kingdom of God. It enables our witness to become stronger and bolder. And in closing, I believe that the role of a husband in our culture is under attack. You just have to look at the lame TV sitcom stupid things about, even cartoons about the family. A husband seems to be made out to be the idiot who sits there with a beer and a TV remote and scratching his head and doesn't contribute much more than that. That's the way men are portrayed. And really, the strategy behind that is a demonic strategy. The devil wants to rob, to kill and destroy. That's his mission. You see, if you want to neutralise an army out there, you go for the commander. If you want to ruin a nation's morale, you kill the king or the queen. If you want to ruin a church, you destroy the pastor. And to devastate a family, you take out the leader. You take out the husband. And that's his strategy. He is the enemy of our soul. And he would love to create a whole generation of men who are passive in their families. He would just love that. And to take them out and to have single families. He would love men to just sort of sit around and just let things happen, never be a leader, never exert themselves or being intentional or nurturing. He would love that. So men, decide that you're going to be not like that culture. You're not going to let the enemy take out your family. Rise up. Be strong but tender leaders. Love your wives. That's what you are called to do. And rebuke the enemy and be the man of God that you're called to be. And verse 33, last verse. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Remember, the husband received the role of leadership from the Lord. He didn't appoint himself, women. God gave that role to him. And when wives understand that and remember that, we need to respect our husbands because God put them there. So the Lord made man the position of head in the family, and I'm pleased about that because that's his responsibility to God to be all he needs to be. I just need to do my role. And when women understand that, we then voluntarily submit ourselves to God's plan for marriage. And we can trust God rather than lean on our understanding for that, because sometimes we think we know best and want to do it our way. And submission does not mean that we're going to agree about everything. We all know that we all think differently about things, and that's okay. That's absolutely okay. In our disagreement, we still need to be respectful. I think that was one of the most freeing things when we worked out that we're allowed to agree to disagree instead of having to make the other one think how they thought. That was freeing to me, think I'm allowed to think differently and that's okay. And so we have a challenge here. Last week we talked about the wives submitting, voluntarily submitting to their husbands. And now the men have a greater role that God has given to each and every one of you. And so I pray that if there's anything in your life that you think, oh, heck, I could do better at that, then I pray that you take it to the Lord and that you begin to work on it. Now, if you go out in your garden and you plant a potato seed or root or whatever, how do you plant a potato? Whatever. Okay. That's it. It is not going to be ready and fruitful overnight. Remember that. It will take time. And sometimes as soon as you step out and you think, oh, right, I'm gonna submit today, the devil will come in and have all sorts of havoc. Just keep going. Just put one foot in front of the other. and keep doing it, regardless of what comes against you. And eventually the potato will grow and you'll be able to eat the fruit of it. So be encouraged, because God has the plan. And I don't know, I just think we need to be understanding what God wants for us as husbands and wives. And if you're not married, how he sees the church as his bride. So be encouraged today. So I've finished chapter 5. We will have some Christmas things now, and then there'll be chapter 6 left, where chapter 6 he talks about being children, being obedient to their parents. And then we get into, I've got to tell you, it's so exciting. Hang on, it's here somewhere. Here it is. Chapter 6, children, parents. And then the armour of God, the armour of God. I'm looking forward to getting into that one. So be encouraged today, be blessed. And I'm going to open up the altar as we sing this afternoon. Oh, yep. And no, yes, no, not yet. If we sing, we're going to worship God. And if you want encouragement for anything, come on out. I just sense there's someone today that wants more. You want more. And if that's you, just come out. When it's time, just come out. We're just going to encourage, because we need more. We need refilling. We need refilling regularly so that we can walk this Spirit-filled life. So let's worship God.